We have a very important topic this morning. And the topic of this morning is thinking leads to doing. It's a very simple statement, but it's very profound and very, very important if we understand this concept. That whatever we think is what we will ultimately do. It does not just happen. Things does not just happen. It first takes place in our thought life. And then it is manifested in our actions or in our words. Let's read from Matthew chapter 12. This is an amazing teaching from our Lord Jesus Christ. And the context here is that Jesus is healing the sick. He's removing the devil from the demon-possessed people. And these are miracles that he is doing to show that he is the promised Messiah that was predicted or prophesied in the scriptures by prophets. And he's demonstrating his authority that he is the Messiah. In Matthew chapter 12 verse 22 all the way to 35 it says, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David?" So we see here common people in those days, they saw the miracles that Jesus did and they realized that this is not an ordinary man. This is the Messiah. This is the son of Abraham. This is the son of David that was prophesied in the scriptures, in the written down by prophets of the old. But we have this group of people in verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, the Pharisees were the religious leaders of the nation of Israel. Their job was to teach them the scriptures. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." So they cannot deny that this miracle has been taking place. They cannot deny that it's not a normal human being can ever do this. They cannot deny that in front of the public. But you know what they did? They said, "Let's turn it around and say, you know, it's not you who are doing it. You're doing by the power of the devil." That's what they said to Jesus. This is what they spoke. In verse 25, "And Jesus knew their thoughts." Jesus knew exactly what is in their heart. He knew exactly what they said does not just happen or come out of their mouth. There's something deep inside them. And that is their thought life. They were determined to think that this is not the Messiah. They were determined to think that this is the one who's going to change all things and he is not the one that was promised in the prophets. Although they had the scriptures, they were set in their hearts. They were set in their thought. And all they could find is fault. Jesus says, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." That's so simple logic. If the devil is divided among himself, then how can his kingdom stand? "And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into the strong man's house and spoil his goods, except the first bind the strong man? And then he will spoil his house." So Jesus here is giving an argument of this statement. Verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. That is exactly what was in the hearts of the Pharisees. They were not with Jesus. No matter how big miracle that he would do, no matter what he would say, they were determined to not be on his side. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever shall speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now here's the important part. Verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. What is Jesus teaching? He's saying that if you are corrupt, if your thoughts are corrupt, you will not produce good fruits. You will only produce corrupt fruit. But if your thoughts and your inside is clean and good, then you will produce good fruit. Verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil... Now where have they been evil? That was in their thinking, in their thoughts. Speak good things. So Jesus is making a very profound statement, and he's saying that how can you, if you are thinking evil, meditating on evil, and if you are determined to not be with him, how can anything good come out of you? So basically he's saying the source actually is your thought life. What you are going to think is what you are going to bring forth. And that fruit is going to be seen by everyone. Look what he says. For out of the abundance of the heart. And I think that he's talking about heart is a place of thought. Because Jesus in verse 25 says, Jesus knew their thoughts. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The word abundance here actually is the word overflow. And the picture is that your heart, your thought life, it's like a vessel or a bowl. And your thoughts go in that. Your ideas go into that, and it's filled, and then it overflows. And when it overflows, it penetrates in every area of your life, and it's seen. That's the idea. So basically he's saying when your heart is full of evil, what it's going to do is going to overflow. And it is going to come out in your deeds and in your words and in your action. That's what he's saying. So verse 35, he says, A good man is the one who is righteous in his thought life. A good man out of good treasure. So basically your thought life is like, it's a picture of storehouse. What you store in your storehouse is what is going to come out of the storehouse. The product is not going to change. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So basically Jesus is saying you cannot think evil and do good. If you think evil, that's what you will do. And you know what? This is very important. From this whole portion of scripture that Jesus is teaching, we can learn one thing. That our words, the words that we speak and what we do are controlled by our thoughts. Are controlled by our thoughts. And this is the most important thing. You know, one of the thing that we continually do throughout the day, the most important thing that we continually do throughout the day is we think. We keep thinking. And you cannot say, I'm doing nothing. Well, you are thinking something. You know, it's like, you know, it happens like, you know, you're sitting idle and you're just, and then your spouse asks you, what are you thinking? Nothing. That's not true. Your mind is not empty ever. It is doing. It's working. It's working. It's thinking something. And that's why it is so important to guard every single thought that comes. Very important. The word think basically means to dwell upon. It means to focus attention upon. In Jeremiah 4:14, Jeremiah is saying to Jerusalem, "O Jerusalem, how long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee?" So thinking is the idea of something that is lodging in your thought life, and you're thinking about it, you are dwelling upon it. And when you do that, it comes out in the action. So it is of great importance how I think and what I think, because it will play a very important role in your life, because it will form your character, it will form your personality, it will even form your habits, and ultimately your character and your destiny. It is so vital. So our thinking can be profitable and can be also vain or futile. And it's our choice, what am I going to think upon? You know, in Matthew 9:4, this is a similar case again. Jesus just healed a man, and he said, "Go, your sins are forgiven." And the scribes said to themselves, "How can he's speaking blasphemy? He's speaking blasphemy." And Jesus, in verse 4 of Matthew 9, says, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" Why are you thinking evil in your hearts? You know, time and again, you read this gospel, you see the Pharisees are always attacking Jesus Christ. No matter how much evidence he has given, they are just not changing. Why? Because they are set in their mind. They are hard-hearted. They are hard. They are heady. Or you can say strong-headed. They were. So we, as I said, you cannot think evil and do good. If you think evil, you will do and be evil. Look, Jesus brought this out again in Mark chapter 7. Again, in the same thing, Pharisees are asking him a question. Why are your disciples not keeping the tradition? Why are they eating without washing their hands? Well, Jesus says in verse 20 of Mark chapter 7, "That which cometh out of man, that defileth the man." I mean, he's saying what goes inside, that does not defile. But what comes out of man, that is what defiles. "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed or come forth or fruit comes out, is evil thoughts. And from evil thoughts come all these wickedness." That is adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. See, what does it do? It defiles a man. Their emphasis was on keeping the ceremonial law, the outward law. They wanted to make sure everything is clean from outside. But they completely did not understand the focus of God giving the ceremonial law was to teach the moral truth. It was not so much to just have a clean hand and you have a filthy thought life. That does not make sense. Your outward should be clean, but yet it is so important that our inside, that is the world within us, the thought life, is clean as well. Because it will show forth. It will show forth. I'll show you that. So every deed a person has ever performed are first conceived in the mind, in thought life. Even temptation that comes, they come from thought life. You know, no one ever falls into adultery. It just not just happens. Or nobody just commits stealing. It does not just happen. It always comes first in the thought and then in the action. And here's the very important verse in Proverbs 24 verse 1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction. The word studieth basically means ponders, meditates. Destruction. And what happens? What is the result? And their lips talk of what? Mischief. So how come the lip began to speak mischief? Well, because their hearts, their thought, they are studying in their thought, they are meditating, pondering on their thoughts. And in verse 8 it says, he that deviseth or plans a careful thought, by careful thought, to do evil shall be called what? A mischievous person. That becomes his character. So see, it all began with a single thought. And contemplating on that. And thinking. So whenever you think and think evil and you tolerate it and do not cast it down, it is sin. It is sin. Sin is not just outwardly, it's a sin of hearts, of thought life. Also, you need to understand the progression here. It's the heart, then it's the talk, and then it's the action of doing evil. And then it's the character, the habit. So it is always begins with thought and spilled out into our entire life. A woman does not just divorce. Our spouse does not just divorce. Suddenly wakes in the morning, you know, I want a divorce. That's not how it happens. It starts with despising her husband, talking bad about her husband, thinking bad about her husband all the time, or vice versa. And then it will come out in the mouth and we'll talk, you know, mom, my husband he's a weirdo, he's so and so, he's this and that and this and that. And you know what happens? Then it shows in the action and they want to quit the relationship. It happens, it starts. So the very good thing is, if you know the source, instead of stopping the symptoms and the fruit, deal where the source is. Cut it from there. In Proverbs 26:24, it says, he that hates, now hate is something that takes place in our inside, in our thought life. He that hates dissembleth. The word dissembleth means disguise. It means to conceal behind a false appearance. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips. So he can cover it nicely with his nice talking. And layeth up deceit within him. So he can, for a time, he can cover it and keep inside. Your thoughts, what I'm thinking, you will not be able to come up. It will not be open. You won't know what I'm thinking. And I can even cover it. And that's a deception. I think that I'm covering, nobody will come to know ever. No. Now listen to this. This is really scaring. And layeth up deceit within him when he speaketh fair. Believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. So he's covering what is in his thought. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. You know, you can try to be nice in front of a person and have hatred in your heart for that particular person. And you can be so sweet and nice and talk so, as if like, you know, so nice to you. But there will come a time that what they have been thinking about that, or you've been thinking about that particular person and the hatred is in your heart, it will come out one day or the other. It will definitely come out in your action, in your words, or things you do. Definitely. Mark it. It will come out in a rude talk probably. It will come out in a sarcastic comment. That does not just happen. You know, you have been thinking about that person in not a right way. And that's why you are being sarcastic to him or rude to him or passing comment or something. It has to do and has to do with your thought life. We should get our thought life straight. Clean, right. The word called, the word showed here is the word also called. It basically means that it would be publicly manifested. It will come out in the open. That is scary. Also, this is a great proverb. It's not in your notes, but listen. Proverbs 23 verse 6. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. Neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he, to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So he's being nice. He's saying from his words, he's inviting you for meal. And you're eating and you're having good time. But in his heart, he's counting every portion of the meat that you are consuming. You know, oh my goodness, so much money is spent. Oh, goodness. Okay. You know, your heart, your thought is not with him. But, you know, you are showing nice. And if you have something, I'm going to do this. I want to do this for you. And I want to do this to you. And I want to be really bless you. And you know what? They don't really mean nothing. They just don't mean anything. Because it's not followed by action. Because you know why? They are saying that they will do something in their action, but that is not supported by their thought life. Because they are actually thinking something completely different. They are showing, they are putting a face. They are pretending. That's all they are doing. So there is a contradiction in their thinking and doing. So it will never come together, obviously. That's the problem. So, it is manifested here in this passage in 23 by the evil eye. So they are watching, they are looking, you know. You know, have you been to someone's house ever, like, you know, and like, I have not been, but someone is like really miser and you know, you try to take something. Oh, sure. Yeah, sure. But you know what, this, you can't actually, you know, this is the problem with, they want to give, they show that, they want to do it, but you know what? In their heart, they really actually don't mean what they say. Now, it will be manifested in your action and in person's talk or in his deeds. Now, not only that is scary that it will be opened one day, somehow or the other, but it will open up or manifested in the day of judgment. That is even frightening, more frightening. Imagine that you have a congregation in the day of judgment, and all the thought that you have thought about so and so or of some evil thought, nobody has seen. Obviously, because what you're thinking, nobody can see. Only two people know, you yourself and God. Jesus knew their thoughts. Only two people know. But you know, in that day, everybody will know. Because that sin will be brought up and be judged. And probably the person that you had been showing so nice all your life, and he will be surprised, my goodness, you are so filthy in your thought. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and listen to this, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So even good thoughts, good things that you think upon will be brought up and will be the time of being rewarded. So the point is that if you want to be righteous, you cannot just be righteous outside and say, I am righteous. you have to be, and I have to be righteous from inside. Matthew chapter 5:20. This is, my friends, the criteria to enter the kingdom of God. You might see a person sweet, nice, kind, really generous and everything, but yet they don't make it to the kingdom. Why? Because actually, what was going inside their thought world was completely filthy and evil and wrong. And they could not make. Look, Jesus said, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees." What was the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees? They had righteousness, but it was only outward righteousness. "Ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." So there is a punishment for wrong, sinful thinking. So if I want to and you want to enter the kingdom, we have to, our righteousness have to exceed or go beyond the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, which was only outward, and they were evil from within. Look in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus said in verse 25, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within, inside your heart, they are full of extortion and excess." In any other parallel passage, "They are full of lawlessness and iniquity. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first." That word "first" is important. Cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. So what is he teaching here? The first thing that you need to clean is not change your behavior, but the way you think. That's what you change. Hit the mark first, and automatically you will change your behavior, your actions and your speech. A person who has a mouth of gossip, slanderous, evil speaking, check the heart. It comes from the thought life. Because you know what? They are not dwelling upon the righteous thoughts, the word of God. What does it tell about gossip? What does it tell about slandering? What does it tell about evil speaking? They're not dwelling upon that. And that's why it comes out. So, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, gave a couple of examples. And one of the examples was in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Right after what he said, that your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees. He said, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." So he is not committing an actual act of killing his brother or murdering his brother, but he is angry at his brother. And that anger in his heart, if you go on to read the next part of this passage, he is calling his brother Raka. He is calling his brother fool. Why? Because he is angry from inside with his brother. And it is manifested in the way he is talking to him. So Jesus is teaching that Jesus knew exactly that sin starts in the thought life. He knew exactly. And it is not necessary that you could kill, but you are angry in your thought life. You have committed sin already. In Matthew 5:27, Jesus said again, "And you heard that it was said of the old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust." Now, that lust takes place in the thought life. After her had committed adultery with her already in his heart. So he has not touched the woman. He is not done any evil act or act of adultery, but thinking, just thinking, God, Jesus equates to doing. Or we can put it this way also, Jesus knows that if he thinks and keeps thinking and thinking, he will commit adultery. He will kill one day. And that's what exactly, that's what's happening today with teenagers, with men who are watching violent movies and they want to be like, you know, Hitman and Batman and all kind of men. And they literally, they're contemplating and they're thinking and they're watching and it's influencing their thought life, and that what they become. And they suddenly, from nowhere, like just a recent case that happened in Colorado, it's not just in the swirl of the morning, he woke up and he said, "No, I'm going to do this." No. Imagine and think what all must have been going in his mind from the childhood all the way till he grew up. I don't know what, but definitely I know it was his thinking. And led him to do a horrible thing. And others have to pay for it. So, Christ's teaching is evident that within is where sin begins. And also, that's where change must take place first. He goes on to say, if your eye offend thee, cut it off. He's not talking about literal eye cutting it off. What he's saying that, deal where the source is. Cut off that thought. James says the same thing. The road to sin starts in your thoughts. James 1:14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust or desire and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, or the word actually is, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. The deception is that, this is the deception, that we think we are free to think anything we want to think upon. That's a deception. As long as I don't actually act it out. So if I'm thinking something, as long as I'm not doing it, I'm fine. It's not wrong. And my friend, that's the deception that James is talking about. That's the very deception. Don't think that you are free to think anything as long as you don't commit. Think about Noah's day. God judged the days of Noah because their thoughts were evil continually. And that resulted in being violent. They were violent. They were wicked. And they were committing all sorts of crime. And that disgusted God so much that he destroyed. So, we are not free to think what we want to. We have to make sure that we are guarding every thought. It's so important. I cannot just even begin to tell how important that is. In Proverbs 24 verse 9, he says, the thought of foolishness is sin. And here's the great thing. Have you wondered, like, I am praying and I am seeking God and I am doing those things, but yet God is not answering. You know, I am being kind, I am giving the offering, and I am going to church, I listen to the message, I am being generous, kind, etc. I am doing all those things, and yet God is not answering. You know, one of the things that we have to really search is, how is my thought life? Is my thought life hindering God hearing my prayer? Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, he will not hear you. This is the great and most important principle in regard to prayer. If I am regarding evil or iniquity in my heart against a person, against anything, or having a sinful thought and thinking upon that and dwelling upon that, God will not hear you. Now, that's why Paul said, 2 Corinthians 7:1, he said, "Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." So he's saying, let us cleanse. That's our responsibility, to cleanse ourselves from within and outside. So impure thoughts become sin when we entertain them. So we cannot change our lives, we cannot change our behavior, we cannot change anything except first we change our thinking. So the road to sin starts definitely in our thoughts. The best thing is, get off that road. Get off that road. Look, Isaiah 55 verse 7. Now how we can conquer or guard our thoughts? The first thing is, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. That is going to take a choice. You're going to say to yourself, speak to yourself. You know, I don't know about you, I'm sure we have all faced weird thoughts come in our mind sometimes. A lot of times. Weird, like really, you think, oh my goodness, am I a Christian? No, they come. And the question is that sin? No, I don't think so. But yes, when I do not reject them and forsake them and throw them out, but I dwell on it and keep thinking, that you hit the mark. You started the process of death. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. This is a great verse. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. It's a strong and a beautiful verse. It's teaching so many things. When you forsake that thought and you tell, hey, you know what, this is absolutely wrong, this is not in line with the scriptures, I'm not going to do it, and I'm going to return to the thoughts from the Bible, from God, you know, God will have mercy. God will have mercy. And he will forgive. Notice the story of a prodigal son. When he left his father and went and ruined all his fortune that he had. Notice what he did. His first movement was, he said to himself, in my father's house, there are many servants. He started thinking, right. He's saying, you know, my father's house, there are many servants. And there is so much food there to eat. I will go to my father and I will say that I have done wrong. He's all thinking. He's talking to himself and he's thinking this. And that changed his behavior. And he went to the father. And the father, he didn't even have to come to father and tell all those things. The father saw. The very act of his coming back showed that he has changed his perspective. His thinking. He has forsaken his way. He has forsaken his unrighteous thoughts. And is returning to God. And God will be merciful. So there are only two ways to think. There is no middle way. Righteous thoughts or unrighteous thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So what Paul is saying, that we are in the battlefield. We are fighting every single day. So much so that we have to fight with every single thought that takes. And you can talk and imagine your thought. Like one thought, 1 millisecond, you are in Delhi. The other second, you will be in another part of the world. They've traveled so fast. So fast. So what he's saying is that there is a battle that is going on which cannot be seen. You don't have to be dressed like a soldier and take a sword and, you know, start fighting. You don't have to do that. That's not Christian life. It's right here. It's right here in your mind, in your thought life. That's where you fight. That's where you fight. So here's the thing. An evil thought comes, or sinful thought enters. You remove the sword and you fight. Oh, that's not happening physically, but you know, it's all taking place in the mind. So Paul is saying that the weapon of your warfare is not after the flesh. It means after human flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. That's a very important word. Every single thought. That will require discipline. You think? I have to continuously check, what am I thinking? What am I thinking? Especially if I'm not doing any physical work. Sitting. You are thinking. And you better check what you are thinking upon. And if it's wrong, do something right away to change. The battle is against every single thought. And the point is, Paul is saying, is very important, one more thing here, that we have the ability to take every single thought and bring it to captivity and control it. We are not at the mercy of every passing thought which comes in our head. We have the ability. We can. That's why he's saying, cast down every imagination. If you don't cast imaginations down and every high thing, it will become a stronghold. And notice the word, the filter is here. The filter for your thought is the knowledge of God. That's the filter. And we need to filter our thought in such a way that those thoughts which are not according to the Bible, according to the scripture, we do not entertain them. But we cast them out. We cast them out. And bring it to the obedience of Christ. Now the word captive, bringing into captivity, is the word actually, it's a Greek word, which actually means that you defeat it, you conquer it, you arrest it. You know how in old days, in times of battle, when the kings defeated, they would bring them at the point of the spear or the sword and bring them into prison. And that's the idea behind this. The word, actually, the Greek word, the root word is to bring it at the point of a spear or a sword. And you bring them into captivity. And we know the sword. The sword is right here, the knowledge of God. The more knowledge of God you have, the more you will be equipped to guard your thoughts. But who wants knowledge today? Who wants to spend time gaining and filling the mind with knowledge today? I better sit and entertain myself by foolish talk, by foolish watching, or by just spending my time leisure but I don't have time for spiritual things. But I have time for every other thing. Living a Christian life involves a daily battle inside your heart, inside your mind. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword, the piercing even to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner or judge of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What is it saying? The only thing that can penetrate in your thought life and fight is the word of God. That has the ability to penetrate inside and make you clean from inside. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The phrase "we have to do" is basically means we have to give an account to him. So fill your mind with the word of God. The more godly information you store in your storehouse is better for you. and me. Psalm 119 verse 9, there is a question asked. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? And the answer is, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And that, why? So that I might not sin against thee. So if you have the word of God in your heart, in your mind, you can conquer every evil thought, every sinful thought. So that is the first thing that you got to do. First thing is forsake those thoughts. Choose and say, you know what, I am just not going to dwell upon it. Reject it. Throw it out. Cast it away. The second thing I do is I fill it with the word of God. That's why it's so important to fill your mind with the word of God when you start your day. Because you know what, we are by default going to bring our own thoughts into action. Fill your mind with the word of God. And the second is, and this third is very important, protect your thoughts from outside influence. That is so important. Proverbs 4 verse 23 and verse 24. But every charge, above every charge, so he's making this very important. He's saying this, above every other commandment, every other charge, keep thy heart. Guard your thought life. Why? For out of it are the outgoings of life. So it's going to overflow and show it in your lifestyle. Then he says, turn aside from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. So basically he's saying that in order to protect ourselves, or guard our thoughts, we should prevent ourselves from hearing potentially bad things. You don't just say that I'm going to hear something bad and keep hearing and hearing and hearing, and it's not going to change me. It's not going to do anything to me. It's not going to affect me. No, no, no. That's a deception. The greatest deception is this. I can manage. It doesn't affect me. It is a lie. It is a lie. It will affect you. What you hear, a negative report about another person, or whatever you bad things you hear, it will affect you. And it will come out. Seriously, jokingly, somehow. Oh, I was just joking. No, it was not a joke. It was what you were thinking upon. Something, somewhere, somehow, you have been affected, influenced from the outside source. What we hear, you know, it says, we hear it from here, it goes it from there. From the other ear? No, that's not true. It goes it from here and stays up there in your head. What we hear goes in our mind, whether we like it or we don't. So we have to deal with it. So guard what you hear. Even music. Even music, you have to be very careful what you hear. If you hear a heavy metal rock, you know. One day I was traveling on metro from my office, and there was this guy who had a headphone in his earplug, and he was listening to music. And there were like about 80-100 people on the platform, maybe more. And this guy is listening, and he's just doing right in the middle. And like everybody's like walking and looking at him. What's wrong? He is in his own world. He basically was thinking that I am the only survivor in the whole planet. I am the only one here. Really? It was going on. It was influencing him. It was, you know, that's why there is people go for rock concerts. There is something called Mosh or Mosh or something. You know what they do? Mosh, they at one point of the rock concert, they start playing the guitar very, very fast and very at high pitch. And that's a signal to the whole rock crowd. They have to form a wall. They basically, there is an aisle formed and everybody separates and there is one whole group here, one whole group here. And it goes on, you know, higher and higher and higher and higher. And at one point, literally, this is truth, you can check it out, they run from opposite direction and bang into each other. That's called mosh. They bang into each other, they just roll over. So many people have died, so many people have broken their hands. I know my own colleague, he broke both his hands. He was fractured because he went for this thing, and this is how it happens. What was influencing them? I thought, like, my goodness, they are crazy. These are weird people. What are they doing? They know that they are going to break their bones. They are going to be fractured. They are going to die. But they still want to do. Because you know what? They are completely influenced by an outside source. Music. That's why it's very important. You see, when you are like down and you are like, you know, you put the music on, a nice music, it really affects you. It really changes your mood. So it is important to, music is important, it's nice, it changes, it's good sometimes. For me all the time. Matthew 6:22. Look, this is the other thing. Guard not just what you hear, but guard what you look at. Oh man, this I cannot just emphasize, magnify the importance of what you look. People say, I can see anything, it does not affect. As long as I don't commit that, I don't do that, it doesn't affect me. So I can sit in front of the LED, LCD, whatever, and I can watch whatever violence it is, whatever corrupt thing is going on, it does not affect. I am being entertained. Jesus says otherwise. Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. The light of the body is what? Is your eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? What you see, it is going to affect you. So people today watch, what is that show? Sas Bhauti. You know, I don't know, I heard about, when I go to Bombay, my mom keeps watching that crazy nonsense thing. I don't know what, the whole episode just keeps on dragging, you know, the same thing. And basically is a fight between a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, yes. And that's what it is, the whole thing about. And we see that is exactly started to happen and accelerate in houses. Because, you know, they are affected. Recently, I was in one of my clients' house, going to collect the payment. And there was a young little boy, maybe he was about Jason's age probably. A little younger to Jason probably. Five. And he was sitting on the couch, all alone in the living room. Maid was there. And there was a television set going on. And he was watching some violent movie. Some, oh my, I would never watch myself. I mean, it was gross. I know some killing, some weird creatures were coming out. And, you know, he was fighting with a sword. And he was like little boy was sitting there and watching. And I was thinking to myself, my goodness, he is left so unattended and God knows what all he has watched on that stuff. And you won't believe it. I had to come to that client's house one more time. That was after 2 days. I went that was in the evening after my work. And that same boy was there. And you know what was he doing? He was talking to his maid very rudely and he was saying, you know, I'm going to kill all this fish in the fish tank. I'm going to put this and kill and I'm not going to spare them. The maid is saying, don't talk like that. No, I'm going to kill him. On everybody. I said, oh my goodness. I said, yeah, I could make the connection. So, my point is, choose very carefully what you're going to watch. I'm not against movies. I like to watch also. Watch something that is just going to inspire you, that is going to edify you, that is clean of slang languages, of scenes. Be very careful. Very careful. Because it will affect you. Jesus says that. It will affect you. You know, many parents make their kids watch the TV. Why? Because they want to do what they want to do. So they leave them in front of the television. They are occupied. And they don't even guard. They can just flip the channel. They can see anything. Now, forget about TV. Now the internet and computers have come. And you make a child sit in front of the computer. I'm not saying that's wrong. It's bad. There are some very good things that you can do. Kids can do. But make sure that you are sitting right next. Don't even go and go for making a tea. If you're doing it, switch it off. Switch the router off and go. Very careful. Because you don't know in split second what can pop. That will ruin your child's imagination for the rest of the whole life. You know, there are images that are, when I was a kid, that are still embedded in my mind. Still. And I'm sure we all can say that. So we have to be very careful what we are going to show our children. Especially things, entertainment that are made for, especially for geared towards kids. I think they have more violence than movies that adults see. And they show weird kind of things, which a child does not need to understand at this, or know at this point of time when they are of a certain age. They don't need to know that. But they are exposed. So the psalmist said, and this is David who's saying, and I can imagine why David is saying so. In Psalm 101 verse 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. So, walking in the house, you know, house is a place where nobody knows your what you see, what you do. Others don't come to know. That's your private life. So you can be free to think, I can do whatever I want, I can think whatever I want, I can behave the way I want. But the moment you come out of the house, you are a different person. Oh, so nice. That is hypocrisy. So David is saying, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. That's where it starts first, in the house. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And I think David, I know why he's saying so. Because at one point of time, he had said wicked thing in front of his eye. When he was supposed to be in the battlefield in the summer, he was on the roof. And he committed sin with Bathsheba, and then he killed, got his her husband also killed. So he's saying, I will set no wicked thing before my eye. This should be a promise, a covenant, a contract you should make with your own self. You know, if I do these things, I'll do 70% of your wrong thinking will really go away. Right there. Right there. Why there are children today who turn out, who behave in a nice way and do the nice things and learn manners. And on the other hand, the same age group child is weird and talks nonsense. I see in the behind park when we go, kids, they talk nonsense. Rubbish, really. Sometimes I think of like giving them a punch, you know, and closing up. My weirdest thing, you know, they where do they get that from? Watching. Singing, listening to the song, and it hums. They keep humming those song, and they... Anyway, so we'll not go into that. Job 31, verse 1. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? Now this goes when you are at the workplace, this goes when you are out of the house, and this goes also in the house when you sit before a television or a computer screen or whatever that is. So protect it from outside influence towards sin. That's a, also another thing I want to bring out. Guard where you go. It's important where you go. Choose the locations right. Don't want to go in such places where you are exposed to stupid things. And you can't do it. You can't help it. You know, like for example, malls. You see some really weird things, especially Saket Mall. I hate that one. Anyways, but all parties or where you're going, it's very important. Because you might see something, you might hear something, you might witness something, and that will stick in your mind and that will bother you. Be very careful. Okay, let's close. Romans 4:13-14. The best thing is, if the road to sin starts from thought life, take a safe road. And Paul gives us the safe road. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The word provision basically means measures taken beforehand. Take measures beforehand. What you're going to do or think or where you're going to go, what you're going to see, what you're going to talk, what you're going to hear. Don't hear a bad report from others. Someone is down casting her husband or a spouse or another spouse or doing something, encourage them. You know, encourage them and to cast those kind of thoughts and think with God and trust God and pray instead of wasting time into idle talk. Use it for praying for that person or whatever the situation is. So make no provision. This is the safest way to avoid sin, and it is to avoid situations. Avoid situations. And in closing, Philippians 4:8, here we have a security guard. You know, you have a watchman. Place a watchman. Appoint a watchman today itself. And that watchman, not one, couple of them. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. Any virtue, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, dwell on these things. Think on these things. So here's the thing, fill your mind with good things. If you fill your mind with good things, you will have good feelings. You will have good feelings. So you want good feelings for your spouse, you want good feelings for your friend or brother. Think good about them. Think something good about them. Prepare. It takes labor, it takes hard work to think and not just pretend. Think. The word which is over here shall guard. He goes on to say that guard, because the context actually is worry, taking careful thoughts, anxious thoughts basically. And he's saying that the peace of God will guard your heart. So if I check these, so basically I say my guard. Listen, if anything that comes in my thought does not match with these things, you tell them to get out, stay out and don't come in. If the thought comes in my mind, I say, oh, I'll check it. Oh, is it true? If that person is saying about someone, is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? If this thought is coming, is it pure? If it's not, reject it and change and fill it with God's thought. Discard them. Yeah, here's the key, really the key to have good feelings about anyone. Good thoughts. So let's close with last verse. And this is the sincere prayer that we can pray. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. That's a beautiful verse, a beautiful prayer. You can ask God. God, search. You know, there might be thoughts that, you know, I'm not aware of that come. God, search and let me know if this is wrong and if it's okay, so that I can change me. And David here used the word search, which means explore, dig. God, examine and investigate. Because you, it's only two people know what's in my heart, in my thoughts. You and God. So, take God's help and tell God, show me. And you know what? I bet He will show you. And the way He shows is from this pulpit. When you're reading through friend, He will show you, hey, you, this is wrong. So the idea is search me thoroughly and examine me. Not just my outward conduct, but also my inward world, a life of thoughts, imagination, my memory. What am I occupied with? This is a sincere man's prayer. Deuteronomy 15:9, Moses said to the children of Israel, beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart. You can put a sign outside your house, or outside your self, like beware dogs, beware of dogs. You can put beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart. You can put it on your door. Huh? Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart. So, let's pray and